Hey, it's Matt from NoMeatAthlete.com, and today I'm really excited to be talking to Rich Roll. For those who don't know Rich, he's a vegan ultra-endurance athlete, and a pretty amazing one at that. He's placed very highly in several Ultraman World Championships, and we'll get into what exactly an Ultraman is. He's done 5 Ironmans in less than a week, I think, and he was named in 2009 by Men's Fitness as one of the 25 fittest guys in the world, and now he's got a cookbook, too. So, Rich, thank you very much for taking the time to be here with us.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you having me on, and I really enjoy what you do with the website, so I'm happy to be here.
People who are running their first marathon, or maybe even like a half marathon, you know, they're going to have a much different training experience than someone training for Ultraman, obviously.
So, of course.
But I think, like you said, when you get that switch flips in your head, like, I'm going to do this. I think that describes a lot of people's marathon experience. I mean, it certainly describes mine. So you mentioned a marathon a little bit there, but when was your actual, the first time you ran a marathon?
Well, I ran, like, shortly after I embarked on the vegan project, I and before I'd hired a coach, and I didn't really know much about training, and I was just kind of going out and running once in a while, I signed up for the Long Beach Marathon. I went out and ran that, and that was a grim experience, I have to tell you. I mean, I did okay, but, like, you know, I was like, oh, my God. You know, I was like, well, after mile 18, I'm walking. And, you know, that was when I realized I needed a coach and a program.
Right.
You know, and so I guess what I would say is I think it's really important to, you know, in this day and age where it's, you know, like, well, you got to get the flashy new shoes, and I need these shorts, and I need this, you know, I need this bike and all these expensive items. Really, I think the best investment that you can make in terms of what's going to make you a better athlete is investing in, you know, a program or a coach that can help you achieve your goals. And I know, you know, most people are probably not going to want to go out and hire a coach and pay a coach. You know, finding a local group of people to run with and train with who are, you know, have the same goal or similar goal, you know, creates A, community, B, accountability, and C, you know, a positive kind of encouraging environment. And I think those three things, you know, are huge in terms of taking out an insurance policy towards, you know, achieving the goal that you set for yourself.
I'm actually happy to hear you say that your first marathon was a grim experience, because that's one of the questions I've asked a lot of people in these interviews is you know, how was your first marathon? How'd it go? And I've been surprised by how many of them actually said it went really well, no problems or anything like that. So I'm glad to hear that somebody else walked after mile 18, because that's what I did in mine.
Yeah.
What made it that way for you? And was it like a training mistake, or was it actually just going out too fast like so many people do?
Well, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, like, I didn't train properly for it. I didn't know how to approach it. Like, I didn't know anything. I just went out, oh, I'm going to start running, you know. Oh, this feels okay. Like, I feel like I can sustain this. But it was really, like, I had no knowledge base. And,
right,
you know, once I started working with Chris and getting into a program and understanding kind of why he was giving me the workouts that he was giving me, like, my performance improved by leaps and bounds. And really, you know, in terms of marathon training, there's two primary kind of principles that he adheres to that have served me very well, which are A, I spend a lot of time training my zone 2 aerobic zone, which is kind of I do lactate testing, so I know exactly, you know, how many beats per minute my heart is beating when I'm in these various zones, and I set them very scientifically. But, you know, just, you know, really, I mean, if you don't have that available or you're not interested in doing that, you know, I do suggest that you get a heart rate monitor and you try to find that it's that zone where you can still carry on a conversation when you're running or riding a bike, like, that doesn't feel like you're putting really much strain on your body. And so a huge amount of my training is done at this effort level, and you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it. You want to push yourself harder, but what it does is it really, it expands, you know, your endurance abilities. And what it does is it creates additional pathways, blood pathways to your muscles. it stimulates your body to produce additional mitochondria, and it enhances your body's ability to burn fat as a fuel, which is a much more efficient energy burning system than your anaerobic zone, where you're burning glycogen, which flames out after like an hour and a half. And so by focusing on building that part of my engine, particularly with Ultraman, because it's so long, that over time, like when you start out, and for example, my coach would say, I don't want your heart rate to go over 135 when you're running, like ever for the next month. So when initially, you know, I feel like I'm almost walking because
it's hard to do.
Any quickening to my pace, you know, my heart rate goes through the roof. And, you know, it's really, you really have to check your ego at the door. But over time, if you stick with it and you're diligent, and it definitely takes a certain discipline to not go harder, especially if you're with other people, and to do what you're supposed to do. But over time, you know, my pace would quicken at that same heart rate. So, you know, 6 months later, you know, I'd be running, you know, almost a minute faster at that same heart rate. So you build the house. You build the foundation for the house from the ground up rather than down. And I think that the most common mistake that the sort of average endurance athlete, whether you're training for a marathon or a triathlon or what have you, what they do is they train in what's called the gray zone, where they're not going slow enough to build their aerobic engine, and they're not going hard enough to really push that VO2 max and you know, make their anaerobic engine more robust. And when you're training in the gray zone, it's not like you're not getting anything out of it, but you're really not, it's not an efficient use of your training time, because you should either be training one or the other. But when you're in the gray zone, you're really not training either very well. And so that's why I think a lot of endurance athletes, even endurance athletes who have been at it for years and years and years, they get to a certain level of proficiency and then they plateau. And they can never seem to get that sort of big leap in performance, despite, you know, the miles and miles and miles that they've ridden their bike or run. And, you know, it's very counterintuitive at times, but for me, it's worked well. I mean, I can't say enough about you know, really understanding your workouts, why you're doing what you're doing when you're doing it. Especially, you know, we're all busy. We have lives, you know, careers, families. Like, I have four kids and I have a job, and, you know, I need to know when I go out to train, this is precious time that I could be with my kids, or I could be billing my clients and earning money. So I have to make it count. So why am I doing this workout now? And really being focused about that. And it's really easy on the Saturday group ride, or, you know, the Sunday, you know, group run, to run the pace that the group is running. And usually that pace is too fast or too slow, you know, depending on what it is, but it's probably not what you personally are supposed to be doing at that given time.
Yeah, that's really good advice, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's one of the things I talk about in the book a lot, is, first of all, using your body's cues rather than a heart rate monitor, which not everyone's going to have, but being able to keep definitely a conversation going during what should be considered an easy run, even possibly in the marathon.